Welcome to A Beggar Who Found Bread. I'm Brad Alexander, your host and resident beggar who found bread and wants others to know where I found it. Because I think that's the right thing to do. I'm sure you agree with me. Appreciate you tuning in and checking out the podcast. This episode, Lump. That's right, Lump. It's the one hit from the one-hit wonder band, Presidents of the United States of America. Which was not a conglomeration of all the presidents of the United States. That would be really weird. Be difficult to pull off, too. But one thing that the band, the Presidents of the United States of America, did pull off with this song is they hit number one back in 95 with it. And it's kind of a goofy little tune, but it's got a catchy guitar riff and a catchy, likewise, chorus. And that's what it takes to get to number one on the charts. And they did it with this song. I would encourage you, check out, read the lyrics to it, because it seems quirky and weird. And then when you find out the backstory to the lyrics of the song, I think you're going to be touched by the story. It's actually an interesting read. So check that out. I'm not going to dig too much into that right now, because it's not about the music here. We're about the message, and we're about the bread. The bread of life, finding the bread of life and letting others know where they can find it. And how appropriate that we are right now in the midst of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's a week-long celebration and remembrance of Adonai delivering his people from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. It commences with the Passover meal and continues for 7 days. So what's with the unleavened bread? Well, we see in Exodus 12, first in verse 8, as God describes to Moses the Passover meal that's to be eaten on the night death would pass over whomever had the blood of the lamb on their doorposts and lintel of their homes. Verse 8 in Exodus 12 says, "And they shall eat the flesh of the lamb on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." So unleavened bread was a part of the original Passover meal, as it is a part of the continuing observance of Passover. People commemorate the protection of Adonai for his people, death passing over. A little bit further down, we read in verses 14 through 17 of Exodus 12, "Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh, that person shall be cut off from Israel. And on the first day you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them, except what must be eaten by every person. That alone may be prepared by you. You shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance." So this portion of the scripture describes the annual festival, the feast to Adonai, 7 days of unleavened bread. Twice in this passage, we should note, it is referred to as a permanent ordinance. Other translations use the phrase everlasting law. So how long is everlasting? What's the expiration date on permanent? There is none. God's children, Jew and grafted in Gentile, should continue this celebration. And of course, yes, we see Messiah, Yeshua, Christ Jesus in this feast. As he said of himself, "I am the bread of life, and I am the true bread from heaven." Having himself been born in Bethlehem, which translated is house of bread. And since leaven is often used in scriptures as a reference to sin, knowing that Messiah was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin, Messiah is in point of fact, the unleavened bread of life. Hallelujah. Leading into this festival, people clear their homes of leavened breads and other items like crackers, cookies, cakes. There are cereals that have leavening agents in them. Beers and wines even have yeast in them. Scripture is clear. During this week, we are to eat nothing leavened. Additionally, some people will rid their homes of packaged yeast and baking powder, etc., removing the leavening agents from their house. These leavening agents, when mixed with flour, dough, etc., they promote the leavening process, the rising of the dough. Here's something interesting. The Hebrew word for leaven is chametz. The literal translation of chametz is that which has been leavened. Something that has had the leavening process occur in it. I'm sure some of you know that if you take a lump of dough that you put no yeast or baking powder in, an unleavened lump of dough, and leave it out for a few hours or leave it out overnight, what happens? The dough rises. It becomes leavened. Well, how can that be if you didn't put yeast in it? Because, my friends, there is yeast in the air. So you can actually throw away your Fleischmann's yeast and your baking powder, but you're never going to get your home free of all yeast. The scripture says in Exodus 12, in verse 15, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. Again, the definition, leaven, is chametz, which is something that has been leavened. So yeast in and of itself isn't leavened, it is a leavening agent, but it has to be mixed with something for the chemical reaction of leavening to occur. And that verse, Exodus 12:15, from another version says, this is from the Scriptures translation of the Bible, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Indeed, on the first day, cause leaven to cease from your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that being shall be cut off from Israel. Cause leaven to cease, meaning cause that leavening process to cease in your homes. Get rid of any doughs that have begun leavening. Get rid of all that. Get any breads that you have, stuff that's already leavened. That's what you need to get rid of. That's what we need to get out of our houses. Things that we need to cause leavening to cease. So Don't allow that leavening process to occur. I don't believe this scripture says remove all yeast, because we can never do that. There's yeast in the air. The yeast isn't the problem. It's the process. It's the leavening that occurs. Yeast in a bag or a jar can't leaven anything unless it's put into it. Dough without leaven will become leavened if not baked immediately. Exodus 12 and verse 34 says, and the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their garments on their shoulders. So they're getting ready to leave. They're leaving Egypt. They're doing it hastily, and they're hurrying, and they're taking their dough before it was leavened. Not before they threw yeast into it, but before it began to rise because of the natural yeast that's in the air. They left in a hurry. The people left Egypt, God's people left in a hurry. God commanded them to eat only unleavened bread, no leavened bread. So their hasty departure actually helped ensure the dough would not be leavened. The leavening process could not happen. Now, we can throw away yeast, etc., and I'm not going to tell anyone not to. If you believe that's what you should do, then you go ahead and do it. But I don't think that that's what this scripture says. We're to get rid of anything that has had the leavening process occur so as not to eat it during this time. And we are to make and eat only unleavened breads during this time. So yes, make sure your house is free of anything that has been leavened so as not to eat it. I don't know of anyone who eats yeast or baking soda by the spoonful, but actually, even if you did that, they're not leavening, they're leavening agents. They're not making the leavening process occur in anything, even if you ate them like that. Not that, again, not that I'm suggesting you try that. Anyway, in the Exodus from Egypt, Adonai wanted his people to leave unleavened from Egypt, without the leaven, if you will, the sin of the Egyptians. He wanted them to leave free of that sin. Though they were surrounded by it, it was all around them. 430 years they were in Egypt. God did not want his people to have the process of leavening from the Egyptians taken with them. He did not want to allow his people to have that leavening process of the Egyptians within his people. So we know of Messiah Yeshua, it is said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. I will submit to you that yeast is like temptation. It is all around. It was all around Yeshua. Yet the leavening process never took hold in him. He was tempted in every manner we are, the scripture says it, yet without sin." Like I said, yeast is in the air. We can never completely remove it from around us, from our homes. Even if our homes were hyperbaric chambers, I'm sure that there would still be some yeast in the air in those chambers. The problem isn't yeast. The problem isn't temptation. The problem is the leavening. The problem is sin. In 1 Corinthians 4, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and in verse 18 of chapter 4, "Now some have become arrogant as though I were not coming to you." The word arrogant here is literally translated puffed up, like what happens when dough is leavened. It puffs up. It rises. So there are those who are arrogant. They were puffed up. Paul's speaking of their pride, their arrogance. And then in chapter 5, verses, we flip there real quick in my Bible, turning pages. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8. "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Clean out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Paul says that in Christ, we are in fact unleavened. Because of the sacrifice of Messiah, we, his followers, are made a new lump. And it's not that we're without temptation in our lives, but that we can live without the leavening process, sin taking effect in our lives. The wonderful news beyond this is that if that process, if the leavening process, sin takes place, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus, Yeshua, the righteous. The book of 1 John is written to believers and reminds us if, when we sin, we can come to the Father in repentance, and God is faithful and just to forgive us for Messiah's sake because of what Jesus has done. Now, we are certainly warned against willfully continuing in a lifestyle of sin, certainly. That's a warning. That's a warning throughout 1 John, that we don't continue in a lifestyle of sin, willfully, willingly sinning against God. Because as a follower of Messiah, we are to die to ourselves, our old lives, and we live our lives following Messiah's example, filled with his Spirit, that we may walk in the new life God purchased for us through the sacrifice of Messiah, the new life Adonai has given us through Messiah Yeshua. It all starts, as Paul points out, because Messiah, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. I pray a blessed festival to you and your families. And I pray that we would be mindful of the amazing history in this feast, that it is a feast to Adonai. It is a remembrance of what he has done in rescuing, redeeming, delivering his people. And it is the incredible fulfillment of this feast in Messiah Yeshua. He is the bread of life, the unleavened bread of life. The festival of unleavened bread points directly to him. And we should also recognize the future significance that one day, as eternal death passes over us, we will dwell in God's eternal promised land where there is no leaven. Hallelujah. I appreciate you giving me some of your time and trust that you will have a great feast to Adonai. Thanks for checking in with me. I'm just a beggar who found bread, wanting to let other beggars know where I found it. The bread of life, Messiah Yeshua. In him is salvation. In him is deliverance. In him is victory. Thank you for tuning in and checking it out. We will catch up soon. In the meantime, you go out and give him heaven.